Iran and Belarus sign cooperation agreements in different fields as the presidents of the two countries meet in Tehran. President Xi says China must modernize its military to make it into a great wall of steel that ensures the country's security. And most Asian markets fall amid fears of financial crisis after the closure of two U.S. banks. Hello and welcome to the World News. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran and Belarus signed a comprehensive roadmap for cooperation during the Belarusian president's visit to Tehran. The two countries also signed eight agreements for cooperation in the economic and agricultural sectors, among others. During the signing ceremony, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi said the document will boost bilateral ties. Raisi also said Iran looks forward to cooperating with Belarus and international bodies, including the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. He added that Tehran is ready to share with Belarus its experience in dealing with sanctions. Alexander Lukashenko, for his part, stressed that anti-Iran sanctions failed to impede Iran's progress. He added that the two countries see eye to eye on international issues and called for enhanced cooperation in different sectors. Lukashenko is also expected to hold talks with other senior Iranian officials. Iran's foreign ministry says the agreement on the restoration of ties between Iran and Saudi Arabia can help boost regional cooperation on peace and stability.
This deal has favorable effects on cooperation and convergence in the region to help shore up peace and stability, particularly in the strategic Persian Gulf region.
The spokesman said the agreement was the outcome of a year and a half of diplomatic efforts. He hailed China's positive role in facilitating the agreement, saying this demonstrated China's potential for peace-building efforts in the region, which benefits the entire community. Kennedy said preparations are being made for a meeting between the two countries' foreign ministers in the near future. He said there's potential for similar deals between Iran and other regional countries, including Jordan and Bahrain. Kennedy added that Iran is ready for a prisoner swap with the United States on humanitarian grounds.
As we earlier announced, we are ready to do this as a humanitarian issue. In this case, if the U.S. treats the case realistically, the prisoner swap can go ahead as a solely humanitarian issue.
Well, the spokesman said the exchange was agreed upon as part of a deal Iran and the U.S. signed last March. He added that the swap was put on hold after the U.S. tied the issue to the negotiations for the revival of the nuclear deal. On Sunday, Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian announced a prisoner exchange agreement between Tehran and Washington. He said the exchange can happen soon if the U.S. makes its last technical arrangements. But later, a White House spokesman dismissed as false the Iranian minister's announcement of the deal. The IRIB World Service News Awards for TV, radio, and social media productions has praised its flagship news channels in Arabic, English, and Spanish for offering a new perspective to their audience worldwide in a world where mainstream media sets the narrative. Gisu Misha Ahmadi reports.
Creating a world where untold stories are told and unheard voices are heard. The annual IRIB World Service News Awards, dubbed SOAP Media Festival, this year had a lot to celebrate.
It's been a few years that the dynamics are changing and the new world order is emerging. The unipolar world is now turning into a multipolar world. Iran is in a position where it can speed up this process and offer a third viewpoint different from the two narratives that have always existed.
Words that clarify the mission of IRIB World Service. And this is exactly why the Arabic news channel Al Alam swept the IRIB World Service News Awards, taking home wins in nearly every major category, with its sister channel Al Alam Syria TV maintaining frontrunner status with its popular talk show Zoom room.
We are proud to be able to gain a strong foothold in Syria and West Asia in particular by shedding light on the truth and covering stories that are untold about people who have been misrepresented.
I've been with Al Alam for more than 8 years now. I have hosted many TV programs. It's great to be part of a team where the goal is to bring truth to light.
Meanwhile, the Spanish-language news channel Hispan TV, as well as Press TV, were seen as the gold standard of achievement in the television community, winning awards in different sections, including the best documentary and the best news website. Not to mention that Press TV's Palestine Declassified won the best political TV show.
This is the moment we're in. We're in the end, the dying throes of US hegemony. And as he was saying, I very much agree with, the cultural infrastructure for the ending of hegemony has to be put in place, and that involves media, including news and journalism, which can give a different view on how the world is operating and tell more of the truth about the world. So, you know, the media play a central, important role in all that.
Press TV correspondent Johnny Miller, who has covered the most difficult news stories, including the Rohingya crisis and the developments in Ukraine over the past year, was not left out.
I think two of my heroes, Noam Chomsky and John Pilger, said that they've never seen as much propaganda in the war in Ukraine than in any war that they've reported on or written about, and they've reported right back from Vietnam. So that's telling you a lot. And there's a huge amount of propaganda on Ukraine. Indeed, Ukraine is it's a civil war, but it's also a proxy war between Russia and NATO. And I think we're seeing the beginning of this split between the West and the East, China, Russia, Iran. And we're seeing a challenge to American hegemony and indeed the creation of this new multipolar world.
And according to the head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, IRIB World Service is at the forefront of this propaganda war.
In this unequal war, where IRIB World Service has none of the advantages of mainstream media, from state-of-the-art technology to political support, it has been able to blaze a new trail. The fact that its news channels are frequently banned on different social media platforms is testimony to that. Meanwhile, this also proves in practice that the free flow of information and free speech are nothing more than slogans that are used as political tools by advocates of democracy.
Media play a key role in today's world. They can set the tone for diplomatic endeavors, and they are a tool of international communication. Particularly for the Islamic Republic of Iran, its media outlet can pave the way for diplomacy.
That is why there are great expectations, which means that so far, IRIB World Service has been able to deliver on its responsibilities.
In a world where mainstream media is setting the narrative, IRIB World Service has been able to break the monopoly and offer a new perspective. Gizumi Shahmadi, Tehran.
Saudi Arabia has reportedly refused to give visas to an Israeli delegation invited to attend a UN conference on tourism. A report says the UN World Tourism Organization had invited the Israeli delegation along with representatives from 22 countries for a two-day event in Saudi Arabia, but the Israelis were denied visas despite an appeal by UN officials and their request for equal treatment of the organization's members. The development comes as Israel has been trying hard to normalize relations with Saudi Arabia. Over the past year, some Arab states agreed to a U.S.-brokered normalization deal with Israel, but Riyadh failed to follow suit, insisting there will be no ties with Tel Aviv until the establishment of a state for Palestinians. Israeli military pushes its atrocities in the occupied West Bank. The regime has abducted 14 Palestinians during the latest string of raids into the territory. Regime forces took the Palestinians into custody after storming their homes in several towns in the occupied West Bank. Israel has been carrying out raids in the occupied territories almost on a daily basis over the past month. Well, the regime's troopers have killed 84 Palestinians in the West Bank alone so far this year. and now to China, whose president calls for the modernization of the country's military to make it, quote, a great wall of steel. Xi Jinping made the call in his first speech as head of state in his third term as president. Amid heightened tensions with the U.S., Xi said security is the foundation for development. He also reiterated China's opposition to secessionist activities and external interference in Taiwan. Beijing and Washington have seen the tensions soar over a number of issues, including the status of Taiwan and the U.S.'s crackdown on Chinese tech companies. China has openly warned the U.S. that it is ready to use its military to defend its interests. Meanwhile, North Korea says it has test-fired two strategic cruise missiles from a submarine as South Korea and the United States kick off their biggest joint military drills in 5 years. Well, North Korea says the missiles precisely hit an underwater target in the waters east of the Korean Peninsula. The country's state news agency says the test was linked to the U.S. and South Korea getting even more undisguised in their military drills against the North. Now, the latest joint exercises will run for 10 days. The South Korean military says the maneuvers involve wartime procedures to repel potential North Korean attacks. Pyongyang views such exercises as rehearsals for invasion and has repeatedly warned that it would take reciprocal action. Moving on to other news this hour, most Asian markets fall as the closure of two U.S. banks sparks fears of a contagion in the financial sector. Well, the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank on Friday, followed by the shutdown of Signature Bank in New York on Sunday, prompted a plunge in U.S. bank shares. The losses have now reached major lenders in Asia, which HSBC, National Australia Bank, and Mitsubishi UFJ bearing the brunt. Well, the trend is also there in the broader equity markets. Tokyo's stock exchange was down more than 1% on Monday, as indices also slid in other major markets except Hong Kong and Shanghai, which rallied. Now, France has been the scene of anti-government protests for the past week. Anger has been boiling against President Emmanuel Macron for his plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. The protests and the subsequent strikes have brought many sectors across the country to a standstill.
In an utter disregard for the public, the French Senate has voted in favor of President Emmanuel Macron's unpopular pension reforms plan, bringing the package one more step toward becoming a law. 195 members of the upper house of the French parliament voted for the legislation, with 112 against. That amid days-long nationwide protests against the move. The plan, which aims to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64, has drawn hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions, out to the streets or walk out from their jobs across France. The protests and rolling strikes have affected refineries, public transport, and garbage collections with the aim to pressure the government to withdraw the plan. Macron has argued that the procedure is essential to ensure the pension system does not run out of money. His cabinet members have praised the reforms. In a tweet, Prime Minister Elizabeth Warren wrote, "It is a key step to make a reform happen that will guarantee the future of our pension system." Now that the Senate has adopted the bill, it will be reviewed by a joint committee of lower and upper house lawmakers. If approved, the plan will be put to vote in the country's National Assembly later this week. That's where the government needs a majority to sign the bill into law. If the government fails to assemble a majority, Prime Minister Bourne could deploy a highly controversial constitutional tool known as Article 49(3) to push the legislation through without a vote. Elizabeth Bourne has repeatedly said she wants to avoid resorting to the 49(3) procedure, but she might have no other option if there is a real risk of not having enough votes.
Now, the anger against Macron's pension reforms plan come as many have warned against rising public discontent against the French president. New figures indicate that attitude toward workplace is changing in France, with office and other staff getting frustrated with the job they're doing. But that is not the whole story when it comes to the impact of Macron's reform plans on the French society.
The possibility of using Article 49.3 comes as many unionists have already warned President Macron against forcing the parliament by pushing the text through without a vote from MPs of the National Assembly. Secretary General of the French CFDT Union Laurent Berger says using 49.3 would be very dangerous as it risks creating a great degree of bitterness. French unions have called for an 8th round of nationwide demonstrations on the day of voting to keep up the pressure on the government and the parliament. The opponents of the plan argue that it would penalize low-skilled workers who start their careers early while reducing their right to leisure and a long retirement at the end. Many appear ready to fight for a better work-life balance after years of being pushed to work harder. But for many others, raising the retirement age feels like the last straw. For some others, it is a red line. According to government figures, nearly 1.3 million people took to the streets Tuesday last week to vent their anger, making it the highest turnout since the start of the protest movement. The figure is indicative of the fact that the French are showing signs of burnout and a change in attitude towards the workplace. Jean Jaurès Foundation researchers found that although 60% of the French rated their job as really important in their lives in 1990, only 21% did so in October 2022. Moreover, 60% of the French say they would rather earn less and have more free time, which is itself a sign of frustration among the French public about the jobs they're working. If this trend guesses what economic repercussions will be waiting for the French from a different perspective, this frustration with the workplace clashes with the president who pitched himself as a candidate of work. For Macron, however, there is a lot at stake. Failure to reform pensions would tarnish the rest of his second and final term and stop his reformist passion dead in his tracks. On the other hand, the growing discontent with the establishment would be something the government would not want to deal with ever.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
History of knowledge in Iran. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are with you with the fourth episode of the series in which we make you familiar with a few Iranian scientists to whom mankind is indebted in various fields of sciences. If you remember, we talked briefly on Abu Musa Khwarazmi, the great mathematician who was also outstanding in astronomy and has rendered great services to both fields. Today, we will continue discussing math and getting familiar with another Iranian genius in the field, namely Abu Reyhan Biruni. Stay tuned, please. Math is considered an applicable science in the broad region of the Islamic Iranian civilization. In view of this, many discoveries have taken place in this land in various branches of math. All these occurred while dark era of ignorance and enmity with knowledge was dominant in most parts of the world. Turkish historian and author Halil İnalcık explains the conditions in those days. What shaped the Islamic civilization was production of knowledge based on Islamic thought, theosophy and philosophy, which took place through the Islamic Iranian culture in the 4th century AH. In that era, Europe was in ignorance. A synthesis of the Iranian and Islamic cultures was formed during the first era of the Islamic civilization. Iranian researcher Dr. Musa Najafi also says, the 4th and 5th centuries were the era of climax of the Islamic civilization. In the next eras too, the Islamic civilization was in its zenith. For example, the 9th century AH was the period of the rule of Safavids in Iran. But the Islamic civilization, in its climax, delivered great figures to the human civilization such as Ibn Sina, Abu Reyhan Biruni, Farabi, Khaja Nizam al-Mulk Tusi, and many other thinkers. In the first period of thriving the Islamic civilization, there were many narrators and scholars of hadith and thinkers, mainly helped this civilization flourish in philosophy and the common sciences of their age. Yet, in the next periods, indexes changed and most of them tilted towards mystics, art, and architecture. Turkish researcher of Islamic sciences, Dr. Fuat Sezgin, says, I'd like to show you a device whose name has not been registered in the history of math. It is Abu Reyhan Biruni, who introduces this device to us. This device is used for drawing circle on the pattern of planet Earth. If you don't have such a device, you won't be able to draw an accurate circle on planet Earth. This is among the devices which were mentioned in Abu Reyhan Biruni's book. The name of the device can be translated as interconnected two-sided ruler. You put the circle or page between the two rulers and draw your desired line or shape on both sides. This device had remained unknown in the history of math till 19th century. Who is Abu Reyhan Biruni? Abu Reyhan Mohammad ibn Ahmad Biruni was the prominent Iranian scientist of the second half of the 4th century and early 5th century AH. He has elaborately written innumerable books in math, astronomy, pharmaceuticals, and geography. Biruni is among the geniuses whose scientific figure was revealed to the world through the progress of sciences. He was a master of most natural sciences of his time and was among the first persons who embarked on finding a special weight of many objects. His findings were so precise that his calculations have very little difference with what recent scholars have found with modern equipment. Abu Reyhan would travel to different regions and measure the longitude and latitude of those regions and would determine the location of every city on a globe. Years later, he successfully drew those regions on a flat map. This was, in fact, the prelude to cartography as a subcategory of geography. Biruni managed to calculate the most accurate length of the Earth in his time and raised the likelihood of the Earth's rotation around itself. This Iranian genius spent long periods of his life in India. He studied the history, beliefs, customs, and philosophy of Indians. The Indian scholars would not welcome him at first, but very soon he drew their trust and was invited to various circles and gatherings to show a part of the Iranian culture and civilization on one hand, and study their customs and past record more deeply. These studies resulted in writing the book Tahqiq Mal al-Hind, or Research on India. After over 1,000 years, this book has been the best reference for research on India. Abu Rehan Biruni, in an essay, studies the precedence of finding the important theorem of sines and tangents by Iranian scientists and examines the share of each of them. Biruni's studies are very useful for the students who want to be top scholars in geometry. His explanations on various geometrical and mathematical concepts are different from those of Euclid. He tries to give more tangible definitions of concepts. Biruni has explained the rule for ascending of foundations and springs in a scientific language. Then he speaks about the running of water from the depth of wells and springs. A brief look at Biruni's works indicates that he was one of the most prolific writers of the Islamic era. If we judge him according to his works, we should say that he has spent a lot of time on each of these works and written them with profound research. That's why he describes his love of his works to the love of people toward their children. Abu Rehan Biruni has presented a list of his works, according to which he has completed 103 works, left 10 works unfinished, and authored 25 works in collaboration with other writers. The Iranian genius used to call himself as a servant of knowledge. He would say, "I thank God for being able to be at the service of knowledge since childhood." A scholar by the name of Abul Hassan Ali ibn Isa writes, "When Abu Rehan was at his deathbed, I went to visit him. He asked me a jurisprudential issue. I told him that it was not a proper time to ask such a question. He said, 'Which one is better, to know this and die or die without knowing it?' I told him the answer and left him. A few steps away, I heard the sound of mourning and crying from Abu Rehan's house." This event has been narrated in historical books on the last moments of Biruni's life. He passed away in 440 AH, 1049 AD, in the city of Ghaznain.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we are focusing on the first sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains some of these duties that the prophets and messengers have. And one of them is definitely the issue of that is related to the covenant of God that is ingrained in mankind, in the nature of mankind, in the way mankind has been created. The way man has been created is in such a way that he is definitely supposed to do certain things. That's the meaning of the covenant. That means he's created in a way, in order to achieve that purpose, he definitely has to do certain things. He's in a state of humility and a state whereby he's indebted to a higher source to be able to achieve that purpose that he has. That is the meaning of the covenant. And this covenant, unfortunately, was interpolated and changed by the people, by the evil people who made the people realize and feel that they are in, that they need to do other things in order to achieve their purpose. But the prophets came to recalibrate the way mankind thinks so that he can achieve that purpose and of creation and realize their perfections.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, in the previous sessions, we mentioned that that covenant would be only fulfilled if the religion is fully applied. And therefore, the fulfilling of the covenant, which is rather the way mankind has been created, or let me put it this way, the covenant of God, the divine covenant which is ingrained in the nature of mankind, means that mankind has been created in such a way that they are definitely supposed to do certain things to be able to fulfill their indebtedness to God. That is the meaning of that covenant. Now, that means that mankind has been created in a certain fashion. But for mankind to be created in that fashion, to be created in that way, for the nature of man to be able to come on the earth and to live in this universe, then the universe also has to be in such a manner that such a nature can come inside it. As such, that religion of God, not only does it conform with the way the human being has been created, but it also totally conforms with the way the universe has been created. Now, you might say that this is something that we're just concocting from our own minds. But to make it clearer for you, we'll use certain verses of the Quran to elaborate this issue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. In the starting phases of this surah, Allah talks about the creation of mankind. And He says, خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. That the mankind has been created by God. خلق الإنسان. But He has been created in a certain way. علمه البيان. He can learn how to speak. He has been taught how to speak clearly. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. Clear speech has been taught to him. So the creation of mankind is in a certain manner. It follows certain laws. The natural creation of mankind. Okay, it has certain laws and certain regulations that regulate the way it is. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانِ, that the sun and the moon, they are follow a special mathematical process, like they follow certain very, very accurate laws. Inshallah, we shall come back to this very soon.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, as we mentioned, that in the Surah Rahman, Allah, when He talks about the creation of man, after that He talks about the creation of the universe. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانَ وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانَ, that the sun and the moon follow a precise calculated path in the way they rotate, revolve, and whatever they do, all the types of movements and the types of interactions they have in the universe. الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانَ. Then he says, وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانَ, and the star and the trees, the stars and the trees, they all prostrate to God. Now, does it mean that they prostrate in this physical manner, like the way human beings prostrate to God? No. It means they are totally submissive to the laws of God. The way a tree grows, the way it produces leaves and flowers, the way it, the way it extracts minerals from the earth, all of it follows a procedure, defined procedure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are submissive. And the stars, the same. Their phases of existence, the way they grow, the way they, for example, explode into supernovas, or they, let's say, maybe, turn into black holes in the future, whatever. All of these stars, they follow laws. So just like mankind's physical dimension, mankind's natural dimension, natural creation, follows certain laws, that's in the same way the universe follows certain laws. There are certain specific laws that govern the whole universe, and that is why it has been able to stay the way it is, and that is why we can interact with it in a logical manner. Anyways, to cut the discussion short, we realize that all of these entities are controlled by certain rules and regulations and laws put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and similarly the nature of man. Inshallah, we shall discuss about the Sharia in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد مجيد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
Two journalists behind a series reports known as the Twitter Files appeared before a subcommittee of the U.S. House of Representatives recently, where they accused the U.S. government agencies of disinformation and digital McCarthyism. Michael Schellenberger said his testimony before the House Select Committee on the weaponization of the federal government will sound the alarm over the shocking and disturbing emergence of state-sponsored censorship in the United States of America. He said the Twitter files have revealed a large and growing network of government agencies, academic institutions, and non-governmental organizations that are actively censoring American citizens, often without their knowledge on a range of issues. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Anadolu Agency wrote in this regard, Matt Tyvee, journalist, said what they found in the files was a sweeping effort to use machine learning and other tools to turn the internet into an instrument of censorship and social control. He said, "Unfortunately, our own government appears to be playing a lead role. We learned that Twitter, Facebook, Google, and other companies developed a formal system for taking in moderation requests from every corner of government, from the FBI, the DHS, the HHS, DOD, the Global Engagement Center at the State, even the CIA. He said, "Ordinary Americans are not just being reported to Twitter for de-amplification or deplatforming," he said, adding, "but to firms like PayPal, digital advertisers like Xandr, and crowdfunding sites like GoFundMe." Tyvee also hit back at Democratic Representative Stacey Plaskett, who had referred to him and Schellenberger as so-called journalists, reminding her that he has been a reporter for 30 years. He said the Twitter files were the most grave story that he has ever worked on. The hearing also saw heated moments between Democrat and Republican representatives, as Republican Jim Jordan accused Plaskett of asking journalists about their sources. "I did not ask for sources. I asked if they were talking on Elon Musk," Plaskett said in response, while both journalists
refused to answer such questions. When Democrat Representative Sylvia Garcia asked a similar question, Taibbi said, "I can't give it to you, unfortunately, because this is a question of sourcing, and I am a journalist. I don't reveal my sources." On reports that the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, FTC, is demanding Twitter to identify all journalists who were given access to the social media platform's records, Taibbi said it was concerning. Before the committee hearing started, Taibbi shared a new installment of the Twitter files on his Twitter account over a censorship industrial complex. Revealing internal emails in a Twitter post, he said, "When Twitter files reporters were given access to Twitter internal documents last year, we first focused on the company, which at times acted like a power above government. But Twitter was more like a partner to government," he continued, adding it held a regular industry meeting with the FBI and DHS, as well as receiving thousands of content reports from every corner of government. Emails from the FBI, DHS, and other agencies often came with spear sheets of hundreds or thousands of account names for review, he said, sharing screenshots of the email. According to RT, social media platforms colluded with non-governmental organizations and the U.S. government to suppress information they did not like in the name of fighting disinformation, journalist Matt Taibbi testified at a congressional hearing recently. Taibbi appeared alongside Michael Schellenberger, another journalist who has covered the Twitter files for the past several months, before the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government led by Congressman Jim Jordan, a Republican from Ohio. Taibbi described what he called the censorship industrial complex, calling it a bureaucracy willing to sacrifice factual truth in service of broader narrative objectives, and the exact opposite of a free press envisioned in U.S. Constitution. Right before his testimony, Taibbi also published a lengthy thread on Twitter laying out the evidence he entered into the congressional record. According to Taibbi, Twitter acted more like a partner to the U.S. government, censoring based on requests it received from federal agencies as well as taxpayer-backed NGOs. Intelligence agencies, dubious disinformation researchers, and corporate executives effectively worked as a team, he argued. Taibbi's thread described an incentuous, self-appointed truth squad moving from law enforcement intelligence to the private sector and back, with the same agencies inviting the same experts, funded by the same foundations and covered by the same reporters to every panel and every conference. He identified the key players in the censorship industrial complex as the National Endowment for Democracy, the Atlantic Council's DFR Lab, and the Alliance for Securing Democracy, authors of the infamous Hamilton 68 dashboard. Many of the NGOs involved received funding from the U.S. government, while legacy media outlets acted as their proxies demanding censorship. Taibbi described the Stanford Internet Observatory, SIO, and its election integrity partnership renamed the Virality Project after the 2020 election as perhaps the ultimate example of the absolute fusion of state, corporate, and civil society organizations. By its own admission, it labeled 22 million tweets during the 2020 election campaign and was then given access to Twitter's JIRA ticketing system, which is able to tackle 50 million tweets a day. Packaged as a bulwark against lies and falsehood, the CIC is itself often a major source of disinformation, with the American taxpayers funding their own estrangement from reality, Taibbi wrote. Without real oversight mechanisms, there is nothing to prevent these super-empowered information vanguards from bending the truth for their own ends. During the hearing, multiple Democrats tried to pressure Taibbi into revealing key sources, insinuating Twitter's new owner, Elon Musk, was behind the disclosures. I'm not his source, but yeah, obviously asking journalists to reveal sources is not cool, Musk tweeted recently in response to the hearing.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This hadith is about the fear of somebody other than Allah. And in this hadith, the Prophet cautions us against fearing somebody other than God. You know, fear of God is one of the most important and significant of Islamic virtues. It's been considered to be the beginning of wisdom, Ra'asul Hikmat, and it has many good effects in the life of a person, and it is very instrumental in his felicity in this here, in this world and in the hereafter. In this hadith, conversely, the fear of somebody besides Allah, this is a vice, and you know it is very detrimental to a man's felicity in this world and in the hereafter. In this beautiful hadith, the Prophet cautions us against fearing somebody besides God. The Prophet said, Allah does not empower anyone over man, except one whom he fears. If man were to fear no one but God, but Allah, Allah would not allow anyone to dominate him other than himself. Meaning if somebody fears God, right? You know, everybody will fear him, and nobody will be able to overpower this person. Man is not assigned to anyone except him in whom he places his hope. If somebody, you know, places hope in a certain person or fears a certain person, you know, Allah hands over the affairs of that person to that person whom he fears or he hopes in. And obviously that person, essentially, he has no ability, he has no power to do anything for this person. So this person ends up in a state of wretchedness. In continuation, the Prophet said, and if he hopes in none but Allah, he will not be assigned to anyone other than him. Meaning if he places his hope in Allah and he fears Allah, right? Allah will take over the affairs of this person. And obviously Allah is the most powerful, the most knowledgeable, of and the best and the greatest and the kindest of beings in this world with respect to his creatures. So the affairs of this person will be rectified, and you know everything will turn out good for this person. In the same vein, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, blessed is the one whose fear of Allah preoccupies him from fearing people. And he also said, do not fear the reproach of blame on the path of God, on the path of Allah. So a question arises here is, and that is this, what happens, obviously, sometimes we can't control our emotions. What happens if we begin to fear something besides Allah, something that's very, you know, difficult for us? Fortunately, we have a solution that has been mentioned for this in the hadith. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, if you fear the difficulty of a situation, be hard and firm in front of it, and it will lower in difficulty for you, and wittingly deceive the plums of the age, and they will become easy for you. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the caution against fearing somebody besides Allah in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bring us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Now, the Israeli regime has been